were there in the flesh with him. And he says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm writing these things unto you in verse 4, that your joy would be overflowing full. Hallelujah. Is it the will of God that your joy be full? Yes. Amen. Now, last week I made this statement here, and I'm going to say it again. I heard this many, many, many years ago, probably close to 30 years ago. Somebody made this statement. A minister of God said this. He said that fellowship is the parent of true faith. Fellowship is the parent of true faith. You see, Christianity is not just like an organized religion. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. When you get saved, it's a relationship with God. It's not a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. It's a relationship with God. I was introduced to the Lord in 1976 at a Methodist youth camp. And I was 16 years old. In fact, it was the Memorial Day weekend of May, which is just around the corner here, in 1976, that someone introduced me to Christ. And from that moment forward, I had now a relationship with God that I never had before. Now, prior to that, I had religion. Okay? In other words, I went to church, fell asleep every time. Couldn't wait till the sermon was over. Well, I can understand that because the preacher at that time would get up and read from the Reader's Digest. He would read some secular periodical that had no life to it whatsoever. And this minister actually chose this as a profession. He said, I think I'll be a minister. So he chose it. I thought, no wonder it was such a failure. Because how many of you know you have to be called to minister the Word of God? It's not just a profession that you choose. Well, I think I'll be an accountant. No, I think I'll be a minister. Well, get ready. You're going to fall flat on your face. Amen. And that same minister, it's funny, because a bunch of us got saved at a Methodist youth camp that was not a part of that church. And when we came back, there was a fire that was in our youth group. All these tons of teenagers got born again on this youth trip. The pastor got wind of it. He got up the very next Sunday. I was there, and he preached against this experience. He called it emotionalism and everything else, you know. Well, within a year, I believe it was, he was out of the ministry. Thank God. Okay? Because you can't fight against the things of God. But see, in 1976, someone told me about Jesus. And his name was Ike. He went home to be with the Lord last year. I was at his funeral. Actually, I shared at his funeral. I didn't do the funeral, but I shared at that. It was powerful because he led a lot of people to Christ. He was a former biker, a really rough dude. You know, he only had one eye because he had some kind of an accident or something that happened way, way back in his rough days. Okay, and he was just a rough, gruff, used to be a mean as the devil type guy, but he got born again. And we were at this youth camp. He was one of the leaders with another church from Gastonville, Pennsylvania, from a Methodist church there. They were all born again and saved. Now, folks, this is in 1976, so that's a few years ago. He got a hold of me and my friend, and he said, are you guys saved? I'm thinking, what? Saved? What do you mean saved? Saved from what? I'd never heard that terminology before. Well, to make a long story short, he presented to us the gospel. He said, do you want to pray to get saved? I said, sure. So we're behind this 200-year-old chapel that sits there to this day. It was built 200 years plus ago. Went behind there, sat on a pile of wood there. It was used for the fireplace, you know. And me and a good friend of mine, we prayed and accepted Jesus Christ into our lives. Amen. That's been a few years ago. But my life took on a whole different meaning because no longer was God God, like religion teaches. I had a relationship with him. And folks, I didn't even know I was called to, back in those days, I didn't know I was called to the ministry. I didn't know until a few years later. But I noticed this, that I could talk to God like a friend. I had problems just like any other normal teenager would. I had challenges like any other kid would. All right? But I found that I could go to him and talk to him as a friend. So I developed, back in those days, I didn't even know what it was, but it's called fellowship. Now, how many of you know you can be married and have a relationship but have no fellowship? Okay? Well, I got married to Jesus. I became a child of God by inviting him into my heart. But then I developed a cultivated a relationship, fellowship with him, when I began to talk to him and talk to him, and just like a friend, talk to him. Amen? And I noticed this, that faith was not an issue, because fellowship is the parent of true faith. If we have a faith struggle, it's because we've broken the connection between our fellowship with Jesus, our fellowship with him. And sad to say, a lot of believers in these days that we're living in right now are so sidetracked and so consumed, you know, with just the natural. I'm not trying to brag when I say this, but I can't tell you who every actor is out there and every actress is out there. I don't know. I know a few of them. But that's not an interest to me. But there are believers that can tell you every actress and every actor, every sports person, I mean every single person out there, but they can't even tell you anything, can't tell you three or four scriptures. Amen? And what good's it going to profit when you get to heaven? And you knew all these different names, they mean nothing at all. Okay? But to cultivate and develop a relationship with God, a fellowship with him on this earth, is the thing that is going to sustain us in these last days. Amen? See, we're living in a time right now. There's been pressure on this earth, and it's been brewing for a lot of years, the pressure of this earth system. And things are coming to a culmination. Things are coming to a head. Okay? I'm telling you, we're coming down to the wire. The Lord spoke through Pastor Lynn this morning about the end. Jesus coming back. We're there. All the major prophecies have been fulfilled. And you know that. We're down at the very end of this whole thing right here. And if there's one thing that's been significantly a reality in the earth today with believers is so many people have gotten under pressure, the pressure of the world system, what's going on. But you know what? In the midst of that junk, in the midst of that pressure, we can still have a tight relationship with God. If we think it's bad in our days, look back at the Apostle Paul. I mean, they're putting Christians out and having lions eat them and stuff like that. I mean, we haven't had it that bad, have we? But notice these scriptures here, that I write these things unto you that your joy may be full. Now go to 1 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. We saw this last week, and I want to show you this again, because fellowship is the parent of real faith. If we're going to stay in the zone of faith, if we're going to have faith in our lives, and faith removes mountains, then we have to have a tight relationship with God. Amen? And it says here, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice that we have a call of fellowship with God the Father. Amen? Now you stop and think about it. It's almost hard for me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Do you know I said this last week, this is the main reason that God created you and I. He didn't just put us on this planet to do a job for him. Say, oh, I think I'll create a bunch of people, they can work for me. Well, that sounds like Pharaoh and the slaves. Okay? No, the main reason that God created Adam and Eve was this: for fellowship, for communion, for sharing with each other. See, the scripture says in the book of Genesis that God came down in the cool of the day and he would communicate with Adam, talk with him, walk in the garden with him. I'm telling you, God never had a serious thought until man fell, because God put him there for fellowship and communion. And I said this last week also. The thing that brings God the greatest pleasure in the earth today. Now, some of you ask people, what do you think brings God the greatest pleasure? Well, win as many people to Jesus as you can. That's good. Go help someone. Go bless someone. That's good. But that isn't what brings God the greatest pleasure. Here's what brings God the greatest pleasure is sweet communion with him. In other words, when you communicate with the Lord and you talk with Him. This is what brings Him the greatest pleasure. Hallelujah. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Now maybe that's the first time you heard this today, but let me tell you something. God is in love with you. He loves you so much. He gave His Son for you to pay for your sins, to put you back into a relationship as if sin never existed. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That He placed that Spirit on the inside of you. Hallelujah. What brings God the greatest pleasure today is your communion with Him. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 3 again. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Everybody say fellowship. Communion. All right. People say, you know, well, I met so-and-so. I met this famous actor or actress. I met this famous sports person. I met this famous politician. I got to speak to them. I got to talk to them. I got so-and-so's autograph. Now, we're not making light of that, but let me tell you something. You can talk to God 24/7. That's as good as it gets, that you're able to talk to the Father. I've been in situations like you have too, where there's thousands of people in an auditorium or something, in some event somewhere, you know, and deep inside you can hear God talking to you. You ever have that happen to you? There's all this noise around, all these people, but yet deep inside, deep calleth the deep, the Holy Ghost is in there and He's talking to you. Isn't that wonderful? Now, we saw this last week, but I want to point out something here. That in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together at the temple at the hour of prayer. So Peter and John were buddies. Okay? Now, where are they, what are they doing? They're going up to the temple at the hour of prayer to play bingo. No. To have a rummage sale. No. They went up to the temple at the hour of what? Prayer. So, every day this was a habit. All right, it's that time. Let's go up to the temple. Let's go up to the church. We're going to go up and we're going to pray. Fellowship with God. So this was going on a daily basis, every day. And notice in verse 2, it says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb, who was carried and laid daily at the gate called of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Now, it wasn't beautiful to him, but that gate is still there today. There was several gates in the old city. They're still there to this day. And one of the gates is called the gate called Beautiful. It's there today. And they laid this man there that had never walked before to ask alms of people that entered into the temple. Verse 3. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, Peter fastened his eyes on him and said, with John, and said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And so he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, jerked him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood, walked, entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. So there was physical evidence that the man was healed. He's walking, he's leaping, and he's praising God. This guy had never walked before, not let alone crawl. And he jumps up because why? He's excited because the power of God went into him through Peter and John, and he got healed. Hallelujah. Now, I wanted to share that to say this. What were they doing that brought this about? What were Peter and John, what were they doing every day? They were fellowshipping with God, right? It wasn't a religious rite or do. They didn't go in and punch the clock, you know, and say, well, we're putting our time in here today. But what did they do? They went in there and they said, oh, Lord, you know, they were just in a habit. Jesus taught them that because Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus was a man of fellowship. You would see between miracles, he would be up on the mountaintop praying, fellowshipping with God. Hearing from heaven, then coming down where the people were and doing miracles. So Peter and John had followed this pattern And so as they're just doing, they're just praying. They weren't even asking for this to happen. They weren't praying for signs, wonders, and miracles, but they were just fellowshipping with God. They were just communicating with God. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to use you today. They weren't planning this. This wasn't part of their agenda. But something happened. Peter looked at him. I'm sure Peter walked past there many times. But on this time, something got a hold of him and just fastened his eyes on him. What's that called? The gift of faith and gifts of healings. Something took hold of him. And he said, look on us. He was probably bold about it. And the man reached out expecting to receive money because that's all he was getting was money. And he said, look, I don't have silver and gold. My wife has that. He said, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. You see, more things will happen by so-called accident when you're fellowshipping with God as if you tried to plan something out. You're just walking, doing about your business. You're just talking. You're communicating with God. You're on the bus, you're in your car, wherever you're at, and you're just talking to the Lord. Amen? Now, I don't make a habit of this, but I remember back in 1980, I was driving for a truck for a mining company. I was in south of Morgantown on 79. Okay? And I'm telling you, I'm just having my own little personal revival in my truck cab with the Lord. Because I never felt that connection to him like that. It was just so real to me. And there was a guy out there hitchhiking on the side of 79. You don't see much of that today, but back in those days you did. My parents told me, they always warned me, do never pick up a hitchhiker. But you know, on that day, the Holy Spirit said, pick him up. Pick up this guy. So I'm cruising down there, you know, and he's out there in the middle of the highway, on the side of the highway, actually. And so I put my tank on and pulled over, you know, maybe 200 yards up. And so he ran up, threw his backpack in the back of the truck, jumped in the car, you know. And I mean to tell you, I never smelled somebody so bad in all my life. It was like the guy didn't take a bath for about 50 years. You know what I'm saying? But the Lord told me to pick him up. So I picked him up. Now, I had about 100 miles with him before he was getting off, okay? Actually, I had to go south on 19, okay? If you go south on 79, then you hit 19, you know what I'm saying, got into Beckley and so forth. And so I had to drop him off at that point. He was going further down on 79. But I had about 100 miles, so about an hour and a half with him in the truck. Now, I didn't know what I was going to say. I had no idea other than that the Spirit of God said, pick up this guy. And I'm just full of God. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I've been fellowshipping with God. So I'm literally relying on the Lord. I didn't have a 1-2-3 list of what to do, what not to do, you know. He got in the truck. We just began to talk, and I asked him where he was from. You just start out with small things, you know. So where are you from? What kind of background you have, that kind of a thing. This guy was obviously lost. He didn't know Christ. He didn't know Jesus, you know. But I did. And the Spirit of God gave me an assignment that day to pick this guy up. Now, I never made a habit of doing that before. So I pick him up, and I began to talk to him about the Lord. He immediately began to open up his heart in that truck. And I began to share about Jesus loving him and caring for him. You know, he came from a really rough background. Really rough background. And I remember in those days I had one of those little pocket New Testaments, you know, from the Gideons. It was a little white or green, I think it was. Remember that, those little testaments? And I couldn't read it now. It's too small to fine print, you know. But praise God. Believe in God for better eyesight. Amen. And so I was able to, before he got off at that point, I was able to pray with him while we were driving, and he gave his heart to the Lord in that cab right there, okay? And I mean to tell you, the joy of the Lord came in that cabin, in that cab of that truck, and I dropped him off. I got his address and so forth and so on. I was able to mail him some information to help him, get him into a church somewhere, you know? You know, that's the greatest joy that there is, to be able to share with someone about this man called Jesus. Because I know how the devil is. He'll say, they're going to reject you. If you say anything to them, they're going to turn around and walk away from you. They're going to reject you. That's a lie of the devil. Mm-hmm. Because let me tell you something. If you love people, if you genuinely love people, they will want to hear what you have to say. Now, they may not bow their knee and give their hearts to Christ right then and there. But every person, I'm telling you, every single human on this earth has a God-shaped vacuum inside them. And the only thing that can fill that void is Jesus. Nothing else. There's no amount of money. There's no relationship. There's no natural thing that can fill that void. Only God can fill that void. That's the only thing. And if people, that's why they get so frustrated. They're trying to fill it up with other things other than God. The only thing that can quench your thirst, the only thing, that's why that Jesus told the woman at the well, he says, I'm going to give you water, you'll never thirst again. She said, give me that water. Well, she thought he was talking natural water. He said, no, I'm talking about a relationship with God. Amen? Yeah. And that's why I believe the Holy Spirit addressed disappointments. Because every time we face disappointments, it can do one of two things. It can push us away from God. We're like, I don't want to turn to God because I thought I turned to Him and He disappointed me. No, God didn't disappoint you. You disappointed yourself. When you turn to the Lord and you go to Him, He will bring those supernatural divine connections into your life.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. So this gentleman gave his heart to Jesus that day. Peter and John were just going about their business. And all of a sudden, a miracle. They didn't have it on their day timer that day. Today, someone's going to get healed that's never walked before. And did you notice here that they didn't even pray for him? They used the name. Very few times you'll see in the New Testament that you find people praying for someone. You haven't given the faith command. He didn't say, Lord, in Jesus' name. He said, I command you. That's what he said. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Didn't even say he prayed for him. But he gave the faith command, and healing shot into this guy, and he was healed. Can that happen to us? Yes. And it will happen to us. Yes, because you'll find a boldness that will come over you. Amen? Let's go to one more account here. Let's go over to Luke chapter 10. And what we're talking about today is fellowship is the parent of true faith, your connection with the Lord. Okay? Oh, Pastor Keith, you know, you're a pastor. I can understand where you can pray and you should pray. But, you know, I've got a lot of stuff involved in my life. I'm really busy. You know, Pastor Keith, I'm just busy. Well, are we too busy to hear from the Lord? That's a sobering thought, isn't it? That always goes over very well. Oh, what are we so busy doing? Psalm, think about it. That's a typical response you ask people today. How you doing? Oh, busy. I want to say, well, what are you busy doing? Huh? I'm busy. Well, are you busy doing what God wants you to do, or is it a lot of things you've put on your agenda? Now listen, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. So many times we put things on our plate and do this and do that because we think that's what we have to do because everybody else is doing that. But listen, if we're going to hear from heaven accurately in these last days, we can't be so busy. We don't have time for God. We don't have time for His Word. We don't have time for church. But we have time for everything else. We're in a dangerous position, folks. Listen to me. We're in a dangerous position when we're crowding out what's most valuable and most important. That's hearing from heaven. Hearing from God. Now, I'm not talking about praying 3 hours a day or something like that. I'm just talking about taking a little time out each day. Start out where you're at and talk to Him, fellowship with Him, commune with Him. I believe the Lord wants me to say this. Okay? Now, it may not be popular to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway because it needs to be said. If we're so busy with natural things, you can get so busy taking care of your body. And that's okay to take care of your body, but don't go overboard on it. Okay? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You got to take care of the Holy Ghost. Amen? You got to take care of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. There's no natural thing, there's no fleshly thing that's going to satisfy that. You got to put God first. Amen? Give Him some time in your life. Now, over in Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read this in the King James first, and then we'll read it in the message. But we're talking about this point. Say fellowship. Fellowship is the parent of true faith. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you something. When we face the crisis of life, and that comes to all of us, we face certain situations that are more serious than other things. When we face those things in life that want to just take us and wipe us out, there has to be, listen to me very carefully. I should stand on a chair and say this. So we can get so familiar with the pastor walking around just talking, you know what I'm saying? We get, you know, it's just, that's what he does. But sometimes you got to slack the jerk out of us. You know what I'm saying? But if there's no substance inside of us, if there's nothing there, when the crisis of life comes and it hits us, and we're like, oh, where is there anything in there we can draw from? Yeah. Is there anything in the well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if we've spent time with God and we've looked at His Word, and we've put some scripture in us and listened to some messages, then there's something the Lord can work with to pull it up out of us.
So
I remember laying in the hospital on my back, you know, with an evil doctor's report. Really bad report. Okay? Like your days are numbered, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Well, when you face that, you're not thinking about the next sports event.
That's good. That's right.
You're not thinking about Aunt Jane's party you have to go to.
Oh, God. That's true. Amen, brother.
And Aunt Jane, if she's having it on Sunday, you can say, you know what, I'll be over afterwards. Because it's not that important. Okay? If we put God first, if we honor God first, everything else will have its place, I guarantee you right now. Hallelujah. But when you face the crisis of life, what substance do you have in you to pull up? I thank God for all those times and all those years. Sometimes you think you're wasting your time putting that word in you and you're fellowshipping with God, but when your back's up against the wall, there's nothing in the natural you can lean on. But if you spend a little time with God and you have a relationship with God and you're used to talking with Him, it's not a big deal. See, God never says, uh-oh. He's never put in a position where He's like, I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. Okay? It's just like Jairus' daughter. She said, she's not dead. She just sleeps. Well, we know she was dead. She was graveyard dead from the natural. But Jesus said, no, she's just sleeping. He wasn't all alarmed about it. He told Jairus, just fear not, only believe. And He put all the people out. He kicked all the people out, the unbelievers out. And He said, Peter, John, come on, follow me. Let's go in here right now. She was raised from the dead. So there's not, even something that seems that far gone is not too far gone. And some of you might feel like, oh, it's so far gone, my life, what's going on with my body, what's going on with my life, it's so far gone. No, it isn't, because Jesus is the resurrection. He is the life. And He still raises up. He still fixes things. He still heals. And I stand here as a healed man today, glory to God, from the top of my head to the bottoms of my feet, inside and out, completely healed. But let me tell you something. If I didn't have a relationship with God, now, I haven't been perfect. I don't want to get the picture that I'm perfect. I'm not. I'm just like anybody else. There's times I've gotten too busy. There's times I got preoccupied. There's times that I had to take care of worries and cares that were trying to come against me. You don't see that half the time. But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, it's just like a person on their deathbed. They're not thinking about the next natural thing. You know what's important to them? Family, friends. Isn't that true? You know, some people are treated better dead than they are alive. Now, I've been to some funerals before, and let's just say some of those people weren't the nicest people while they were on this earth. And they're laying there in the casket. People walk by them, and you're talking to people, say, oh, they were just so wonderful. They were so wonderful. Why didn't you tell them that when they were alive? Amen. It's too late now. They've checked out. Okay? Now is the time to treat people right. Now is the time in the earth to love people, to care for them. Amen? And, you know, find out the people that really do love you and care for you. Sometimes people despise the very people that love you the most. You know what I'm talking about? But we need to embrace the people that love us and celebrate us, not the ones that just tolerate us. Are you with me now? You are loved. You are loved. If there's no family members that love you like you think they should, I'll tell you, you got a family of God right here that loves you, that cares for you. You do. The scripture tells us that God will become a father to the fatherless. So orphans, they have a father. It's their father. See, God loves you so much. He knows what you've been through. He knows where you've been. He knows the pain and the agony that you've gone through. He knows that. The enemy tried to use that to destroy you, to wipe you out. But God is a father. Listen, I had a wonderful earthly father, but he was far from perfect. Okay? He had deficiencies. But I have a heavenly father that cares for me more than anybody else. No matter how good a mom or dad is, there's still deficiencies. Even if they're Christians, there's still deficiencies. There's still inadequacies because there's no perfect human being. But we have a perfect Father. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, glory to your name. We're bouncing all over the place like a basketball this morning. That's okay. That's okay. We're just going with the flow. Amen. But Luke chapter 10, verse 38, we'll conclude with this today. Now it came to pass that as they went, that they entered a certain village, and there was a certain woman named Martha that received him into her house. Now who were these two sisters? Martha and Mary, right? Who was the sister that invited Jesus? Martha. It says in verse 38 that Martha received him into her house. Her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet to hear his word. Well, verse 39 is a perfect picture of someone fellowshipping with Jesus. Here you got sisters, Martha and Mary, and they had a brother called Lazarus. Remember that? The one that was raised up from the dead? So Jesus had a relationship with these women, with this family. So Martha says, I'll tell you what, Jesus, can you come to our house for dinner? Obviously, he agreed. He went. But as soon as he walked into the house, you have a conflict that takes place. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Someone said, lazy bones? No. Verse 40, and Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve you alone? Bid her therefore that she come and help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Now when I was a kid, if my parents called me Keith and then my middle name, what you do? I knew I was in trouble. Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, let's bring this up in the Message translation, okay? And we'll conclude with this here today. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 in the Message translation. In the name of Jesus. There it is. Okay. And as they continued to travel, Jesus entered the village, and a woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. Next verse. And she had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all that she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in and interrupted them, said, "Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned me to the kitchen for me? Tell her to lend me a hand." She probably had her hands on her hips like this. I get to see your attitude written all over this. The master said, "Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much about getting yourself worked up over nothing." Do you know anybody like this? Okay, next verse. Jesus said this. He said, "One thing is essential. Mary hath chosen the main course, which will not be taken from her." Oh my. She chose the main dish. She chose the main thing. Okay. Now here you got two sisters, Mary and Martha, that came out of the same household. And evidently they were in agreement with having Jesus come over. It's just that Martha had expectations of her sister that were unmet when they came into the house. Because as soon as Jesus came into the house, you find Martha over there hanging on every word that Jesus was saying. Mary, I'm sorry. Thank you. She's hanging. Mary is hanging on every word that Jesus, the Master, is saying. She's just drawing from him. Okay? And I don't know how long this whole situation took place, but obviously there's a little bit of time involved here because Martha was in the kitchen. And as she was in the kitchen, she started brewing. Anger started brewing. What's wrong with her, man? What's wrong with that, my sister? Look at Mary. She's in there lazy. She won't even help out. Now that she's justifying this in her mind. Folks, you know, it's easy to do that. We can be doing the right thing, but with the wrong motive. We can be helping people and be mad at people, too, at the same time. Everybody say attitude problem. She had an attitude problem. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. She wasn't glad. She was sad. She was mad. And I really believe she really felt justified in her actions, to the point where she walked in, she said, "Excuse me. Let me just say something. Jesus, I'm preparing this meal, but obviously, as you can see, my sister is not helping at all. Tell her to come into the kitchen and help me." I'm paraphrasing here, you know. That's basically what would happen here. And she probably thought that Jesus would have said, "Okay, Mary, go help your sis right now." But you know what? That's not what happened. And very often the Lord will do things that kind of shock us sometimes, but it's for our own good. He looked at Martha. He said, "Martha," can you imagine those eyes? Probably burned a hole right through her, man. He said, "Martha, Martha," that got her attention. He says, "You're troubled about many things, not just this thing." He said, "You have a troubled heart." You have a troubled heart. Can you see Mary sitting there thinking, She thought it was coming. She had the wrath of her sister. Now it's going to be the wrath of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But that's not what happened. No. Amen? She was sitting there fellowshipping and hanging on every word that Jesus was saying. She understood how important it was to hear what Jesus was saying. Is it important for me and for you today to hear what Jesus is saying? I used the story illustration last week that, you know, Brother Oral Roberts came to visit Kenneth Copeland in his house one time. This is way back in the day, you know. And so this is the first time I believe this happened. So he shows up, you know, and so forth. The next morning he says, I want to meet you out in the living room or whatever. And so Kenneth came out there, and here's Brother Oral Roberts, the man Oral Roberts, sitting there with his Bible and study notes. He's going to talk and share with them. And so Kenneth was thinking, wow, this is awesome. How would you like to have Oral Roberts show up at your living room and talk to you, or Kenneth Hagin, or any of these guys? You know what I'm saying? And the Lord spoke to him in the midst of that. And he says, well, I've been here every morning. He was all excited about Oral Roberts showing up, you know. But the Lord spoke up inside of his spirit. That's where he talks to him. He says, well, I've been here every morning. And he said, oh, whom the Lord loves, he rebukes. Hallelujah. But that there's a lot of truth to that. And it's Jesus Christ is at their house. And I'm telling you, if Martha did what Mary did, the Lord could have just multiplied the food instantly right there. They would have had a four-course dinner right there. Because they're valuing his word. That could have happened just like that. Mary was hanging on every word he was saying, listening, attending. Praise God. And just like when we come to church, you're hearing what I'm saying, but you have this natural ear. You're hearing what I'm saying here, but there's another ear called your inner ear, your spiritual ear. And the Bible says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's us. And the Holy Ghost can be talking to you the same time I'm talking to you right now. Do you know that?
Yeah.
There's been many, 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 many occasions where I've been talking with people, you know, whether it's church folks or family folks or just people out there in the hallway somewhere, you know, just talking to people. And I'm hearing what they're saying with this ear, but inside there's another ear that's saying, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you saying here? And many times I'll hear him say something that will help that person. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And the Lord's talking to all of us. Lou Anne, God's talking to you all the time. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. He's talking to your heart all the time. He's talking to you. And sometimes we think it's his outward booming voice, like, I'm God. You know, and you know, like the burning bush thing. Moses. Like we're expecting an outward voice, some thundering voice from the heavens to shake and rattle the walls to think God's talking to me. But that, folks, that's not the normal way. That is not the normal way that God speaks to us. He speaks to us in a still small voice. And he's talking to us all the time. He's always talking to us. And if we open up our ears and hear what he's saying, Lord, give me a hearing ear today. Give me a seeing eye today. I want to hear you. I want to hear your heartbeat, Lord. I want to hear what you have to say, Father, in this situation right now. And I'll tell you, as you practice that and you open up your heart to that, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. There's no man or woman that's as important for me to hear as God's voice. I've got to hear from the Lord every day. That's what Pastor Lynn, under inspiration of the Lord, was talking about today. We've got to hear. We have got to hear what God is saying to us. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. Are you his sheep? Then you hear his voice. Maybe you didn't recognize it, but it's there. The inward witness, it's there. That's the number one way he leads all of his children, by the inward witness. So I wanted to say that in conclusion today because Mary chose the better part. I want to be a Mary, not a Martha. Now, I trust that Martha made the adjustments. Sometimes we have to make it, all of us have to make adjustments in our lives sometimes. We get too busy. We get too busy. Do you know that, this is sad to say, but do you know that even as ministers, you can get so busy that you don't have time for God? Now, that sounds kind of crazy. But we can get so, as ministers, we can get so busy doing the work of the ministry, trying to help people, that we're not taking time to build up our inner man and hear what God's saying to us. And that's why you hear people, ministers, called burnout. Just getting out of the ministry. Because the demands of the ministry sometimes can be so great that if you're not replenishing yourself, if you're not hearing other ministers and minister to you and hearing and spending time in prayer and the Word, I mean, that's one of the reasons from time to time that we go to seminars, Lynn and I, is to go, we got to go get back. We got to get fed. We got to go get under the anointing, get at the Word, get refreshed so that we can stay fresh. Because I spent many years in the ministry, our first church, many years in the ministry without going to a single conference, without going to a single meeting, and I paid a dear price for it. Hallelujah. That our fellowship and our connection with the Lord is the most important connection that we can have. Praise God. Wow. Praise God. Glory to God. Oh, now, don't look so serious now. Put a little smile on your face, okay? Now, we're talking about fellowshipping with the Lord. He wants to talk to you. He wants to fellowship with you.